60s on a class trip. What would you do if women in a tiny foreign mining village told you they'd been raped? That's what happened during a UNBC class trip to Guatemala. The geography class was visiting a remote Aboriginal village in Guatemala. People gathered to explain their fight against a Canadian mining project. First, the village leaders shared their tales of violence. Then, the women stood up to speak. UNBC Professor Catherine Nolan was at that meeting, a meeting that transformed many of her geography students into human rights activists. Professor Nolan joins us now back in Prince George, along with one of the students, Claudette Bois. And a good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
I'll start with you first, Catherine. Maybe you could take us back to that meeting in Guatemala. You had been to a number of meetings before then, but tell me what stood out for you, especially at this specific meeting in Guatemala.
Right. This was a meeting that took place in May of 2010, and we had traveled to the community. It's about 8 hours by a highway, another few hours by pickup truck.
Quite remote,
and then a hike in. And what stood out at that meeting was that that the women did speak. We have been to many community meetings around the concerns about environmental and health harms and human rights violations connected to the Canadian mining company, Hudbay Minerals, but usually it was the men who spoke about the evictions, the violent evictions, the burning of homes, these violent displacements. And it was in this moment that we weren't expecting that the men turned to the women and said it was now their turn to speak about what happened to them. And it wasn't only their homes and lives disrupted in that way, but they were very clear that they had been raped multiply by men connected private security forces of the company itself, along with the Guatemalan military and the police. Around 800 people were called in to conduct these violent evictions. And so this is what they shared with us.
And as this is all unfolding in front of you, your students that are there as well. And how are they reacting to this?
Right. At that moment, the community really welcomed us, and we were all sitting under a hot roof out in the open. And we all were sitting quite dispersed around, and some people were at the head as we were taking these testimonies. We were there to do research on this issue, and so everybody was quite ready to do that. But as the women came forward and stood immediately in front of us at the table, expressing how afraid they were, that they hadn't spoken about this even really within their own community, but that it was time now to share this, that the concerns were that it was going to happen again, and they wanted to make sure that somebody knew about it and would share the information.
And Claudette, what was this like for you to hear these stories?
Well, like every meeting with communities in Guatemala, you're never quite sure what you're going to hear. But that was a moment that has really transformed me as a student, as an activist, as well. I mean, how can you prepare yourself for looking in the eyes of several women who have young children, you know, in their arms or on their legs, and looking at you, and you see the fear, you see the shame, actually, mostly shame, and their tears, and telling you, you know, through translation, what happened to them. So it really, to be honest, it's something that has never left me. And, you know, I look back at the photos and I feel very emotional, and I feel very connected to that community and very committed to doing something for them.
For many of these women, it's likely the first time they maybe stood up and spoke out. Now, many of your students are standing up, speaking out. To what extent do you think does making this public put those women at greater risk, do you think?
This is something that we were extremely concerned about when we were there. And it's something we spoke at great length with them and on multiple visits. We returned again, actually. We were so deeply impacted by that experience in particular that we felt we had to return and show our commitment to them. And so we went back in August to re-meet with these women. And they know the risks. They live it every day. But we were clear that if they wanted their names used, their photos used, this would get in the media, it would be in newspapers, and so on. And despite the potential risks, the women felt that they needed to come together. And so women from connected, related communities close by experienced the same thing. It was a targeted attack at several communities. Mm-hmm. And so they've come together to stand up and really be symbols of strength in their own communities.
Sadly, Guatemala is known for its kind of violent past, its violent present. Some here in northern BC might think, well, what's the Canadian connection to all this? Why should I care?
Right. What we've come to realize is that this isn't a Guatemalan issue. It's not a local Guatemalan issue. It's a Canadian issue. These are Canadian mining companies that are operating. These are Canadians who are making decisions about what happens on their land and how they make their money. And we're, as Canadians, invested in these companies through our Canadian pension plan and other sources. We all are invested in these companies, and so we all should care how they operate. And if there are violations that are identified, that we should all demand that there's some way to deal with that.
There have been attempts to get into touch, to imagine, with the Canadian mining company in this case and others. What's the response been like from industry to you, Catherine, and of course what you do here in Prince George?
Hudbay, the company that we're speaking about in particular here, has actually said nothing to us, though they have information on their website that that refutes this, that indicates that they're working ethically and responsibly as they move forward. Another Canadian mining company, one that's probably more well-known there, is a Vancouver-based company called Goldcorp that has a gold mine operating for the last 5 years or so. They've been quite clear. They've been quite strong in their response to us, and actually before we returned in May, sent a letter to me indicating that they'd contacted the Chancellor of UMBC at the time in 2008, demanding that everything about the work that I do and my graduate students do should be removed from the university website, and that the university should distance itself from us. But we're quite clear that we're not doing this lightly, that these are demands that are based on long-term research of working there for almost 16 years now, and the students with me have been going back starting since 2004. So we're clear that we're getting the right information, and that we want to share that with others.
And Claudia, when you see this or hear about this pushback, what impact does this have on your resolve?
Oh, that just pushes me forward more, actually. You can't meet people, and not only in that community, but in many communities, and hear their stories and let it go. You just can't. So companies will say what they say, but I've been in the villages, in the communities, I've seen in the eyes, I've heard their stories. It's not fabrication. So I'm very motivated.
I'm thinking about what it would have been like in that meeting with the women, and I'm curious to know from both your perspectives, why do you think these Guatemalan women would choose to share their stories with outsiders from a university in Prince George? Why do you think they felt compelled to share those stories with you? You both.
That's a good question, because I haven't shared it even really within their own communities. Guatemala and the indigenous communities there, they're the majority of the population, and they've been suffering political violence, social violence for generations. And so they're very familiar with solidarity groups and outsiders, Europeans, Americans, Canadians, those of us who are concerned about issues of social justice and human rights. They're used to sharing that information because they know that we can take that information beyond their borders, where within the country very little is happening. And so it's really the long-term work of my research partner, Graham Russell, with Rights Action, who's worked there for decades, a couple of decades, and our long-term work is as delegations from UMBC, we're familiar faces. It's not like it was the first moment that they would have known about us. And so it's that understanding that we will return, that we will do something about it, and that they can trust us.
Well, I'll have to leave it there. I thank you both for joining me this morning on this story. We'll be sure to keep in touch and see what happens next. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Catherine Nolan is an associate professor of human geography at the University of Northern BC. She's been taking students to Guatemala since 2004. We also heard from Claudette Bois, one of those students. And you can find out more about Nolan's work, her students' work, by Googling Nolan, as well as UNBC and geography. And we'd like to throw this to you, our listeners across Northern BC, your reaction to what you've just heard. If you'd like to comment on anything you hear on our show, please feel free to do so on our listener line, 1-866-340-1932. You can also go to our website, cbc.ca/daybreaknorth. It's minus 13 and sunny in Smithers, minus 18 and clear here in Prince George. Also in Fort Nelson, lightly snowing at this time, minus 21 with a wind chill of minus 28. Your Daybreak News is next. Time.